Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith. Contending for the Faith. Well, I'm glad you tuned in tonight because we have another riveting broadcast in store for you. Now, if you like to play dumb or if you like to exhibit stupidity or if you walk around with a dunce cap on, this broadcast is not for you. This broadcast is for thinking people, people who come to the broadcast wearing their thinking caps on. And today, I need you to be wearing your thinking cap, and not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. We're going to be talking about Juanita Bynum in a series of broadcasts. I got so tired of Paula White and her doctorates, and I got so tired of Jensen Franklin being the Wizard of Odd that I discarded that. I've done enough on those two dimwits. Today I want to talk about Juanita Bynum because she posted something on her Facebook page that made me think, how in the world can this woman be called a prophetess? Juanita Bynum. I'm going to do a series of shows posting a series of questions, pretty much like the shows that I did on Larry Reed. I just finished doing four shows on Larry Reed, and we were talking about Larry Reed, and we were analyzing who Larry Reed is, and we were getting down to the bottom of who Larry Reed is by simply asking one question per show. And that's what we're going to do with Juanita Bynum, based on her latest Facebook post. Now, Juanita Bynum is called, Look, she's called many things in the church. But today we're only going to deal with her being called an anointed prophetess of God. Is Juanita Bynum an anointed prophetess of God, or is she an immature, withering snowflake? Is Juanita Bynum an anointed prophetess of God, or an immature, withering snowflake? That's the question. That's the question that we want to ask today. And, of course, why are we asking this question? Well, because Juanita Bynum put out a post. She put out a post. Now, let's deal with this question about Juanita Bynum being a prophetess. Let's just talk about that for a moment. And we're not going to get deep into what is a prophetess. We don't need to do that. Not today, at least. We can if someone calls in. If Juanita Bynum calls in, if she calls in, we'll deal with the subject of what is a prophetess. Because I can tell you that prophetess in the church today, let me qualify this. Prophetess in the black church today are a dime a dozen. Prophetess. Females who claim to have the word of the Lord in their mouth are a dime a dozen. Just like bishops in the church today are a dime a dozen. Just like people with doctorates. When someone calls themselves doctor, like Dr. Juanita Bynum, people with doctorates are a dime a dozen. A dime a dozen. So in this case, we're talking about not Dr. Juanita Bynum, but prophetess Juanita Bynum. Is Juanita Bynum a prophetess of the Lord? Is Juanita Bynum a God-sent woman? Does she carry the word of the Lord in her mouth? Now, remember, saints, if you study your Bible from cover to cover, if you go from Genesis to Revelation, you can count on one hand the prophetess in the Old Testament, and you can count the prophetess in the New Testament. You can count them in your hand. In one hand. In fact, when you combined all of the legitimate prophetess in the Old Testament and all of the legitimate prophetess in the New Testament, you only have five. So let's quickly do this. And, of course, today I'm not in debate mode because Juanita Bynum isn't calling the show. If Juanita Bynum was calling in the show, and the number here is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730, I would say to Juanita Bynum, okay, open your Greek and Hebrew interlinear Bible and get your Greek and Hebrew lexicons, and let's talk. Because, I have all my notes in front of me. So anytime that these people want to call in, we can go right to the scriptures. I have the scriptures laid out. I have tons and tons of notes, and I can tell you, in the Old Testament, there were only four prophetess, only four. In the New Testament, one prophetess. When you put them all together, and we're talking about women sent of God, women who were commissioned by God, there's only a total of five. In all of 4,000 years of the Old Testament, in 4,000 years of Old Testament history, you have but four Old Testament prophetess. When you read the New Testament, in particular, the Gospel of Luke, in the inception of the Gospel of Luke, at the beginning chapters of the Gospel of Luke, you have but one prophetess, which is a leftover of the Old Testament, but she appears in the New Testament, and that's just one person. After that, no more prophetess. So who are these handful of prophetess in 5,000 years of church history? Who are these people? Who are these individuals? who are named prophetess in the Bible. Not that we think, but that they're actually called prophetess. Well, the first one is Miriam, the older sister of Aaron and Moses. Scriptures for that is Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 and 21, Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 15, and Micah chapter 6, verse 4. Let me repeat that again. Miriam in the Bible is the first prophetess of the Lord. Exodus 15, chapter 15, verses 20 through 21, Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 15, and Micah chapter 6, verse 4. That's just a few verses on Miriam that will solidify the fact. These are the proof texts that Miriam was a prophetess of the Lord. Following Miriam is Deborah, the fearless prophetess, the military prophetess. We read about her in Judges chapter 4 and Judges chapter 5. That's prophetess number 2. Following Miriam and Deborah, you have hundreds of years that go by, hundreds, before Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H, again, let me repeat that, Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H. You'll find her story in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 14 through 20, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 22 through 33. Again, 2 Kings 22, verses 14 through 20, and 2 Chronicles 34, verses 22 through 33. That's the third Old Testament prophetess. And then finally, we have Isaiah's wife. And she wasn't a prophetess because she was married to a prophet. She's a prophetess because the Lord put his word in her mouth. This is the only instance in the Bible when we have a husband and wife prophetess team. The only time, never to be repeated again. So don't make this the norm. This is the exception to the rule. And you find her story in Isaiah chapter 8. Verses 1 through 4. So those are the only prophetess in the Old Testament, and that covers 4,000 years of history. 4,000 years. And God only raised in 4,000 years, he only raised up 4 prophetess. Now there's a There is a false prophetess, and her name is Noadiah. Her name is spelled N-O-A-H, like Noah. Noah, and then I-D, let me spell it again, N-O-A-H, like Noah, D-I-A-H, Noadiah. Noadiah, the false prophetess. And her story is found in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 14. So there are four true prophetess in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and one false prophetess in the Old Testament, or her name is Noadiah. And don't tell me that Jezebel was a false prophetess, because she wasn't. She was a queen. She was a pagan queen. That's all. She was not a prophetess. The Bible never calls Jezebel a prophetess. The Bible never calls Ahab's wife, the Sidonian princess of Phoenicia, the Bible never calls her a prophetess. She's a wicked woman. Wicked. But she's not a prophetess. Only Noadiah. And again, when you look at the text, when we're doing a forensic analysis of the text, that is the only conclusion that you can come to. So, in the Old Testament, there were 4 legitimate prophetess and 1 illegitimate prophetess. Now, in the New Testament, you only have Anna. You will find that scripture text for Anna. You will find the proof that she is a prophetess in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. She's the only prophetess mentioned in the New Testament. That's it. She's the only one. You cannot tell me that Philip's daughters in Acts 21 are prophetess. No, they were not prophetess. The Bible says that they prophesied. Just because you prophesy on occasion does not make you a prophetess. It just means that on occasion the Spirit of the Lord gave you a word, but that does not give you the office of a prophet or a prophetess. And the only other false prophetess, there's one true prophetess in the New Testament called Anna, again, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And then you have one false prophetess, and that is the Jezebel. That is the Jezebel of the church of Thyatira. She went around calling herself a prophetess, but she's a false prophetess. So in the Old Testament, you have four women who are legitimate prophetess, one illegitimate prophetess. In the New Testament, you have one legitimate and one illegitimate. So now, if you count up all the years of the Old Testament and all the years of the New Testament, you have five prophetess in total. Now, someone's going to have to explain to me why the black church has thousands of prophetess. Someone's going to have to explain that to me. Because that is not the biblical pattern. That is not God's pattern. And don't quote me Acts chapter 2 where God said, "And I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Prophesying doesn't make you a prophet. We have people in the church who claim to hold the office of prophet and prophetess, and they have multiplied in the black church like cockroaches in the projects. So why would God only raise up a handful of male prophets and a meager handful of female prophets in the Old Testament and then do the same in the New Testament? There's only a handful of New Testament prophetess and a handful of New Testament prophets. We're choking on prophets and prophetesses in the church. Now, if you were to take these prophets and prophetesses in the church and take them to Walmart, they would be stacking shelves. They would be mopping floors. They would be at Burger King with a uniform turning over hamburgers. But because they can get over in the black church and get over on gullible people, which happen to be my people, we have tens of thousands of prophets and prophetesses. They're in the church. They're scattered all over. And if they can't get into a church, they'll start an internet ministry. So now my question is Juanita Bynum an anointed prophetess of God? The answer is no. The answer is no. She's not. Now, for gullible people, she's a great prophetess. She's a great prophetess for the gullible. For the simple-minded, she's a great prophetess. But for those who are biblically discerning, and by the way, I happen to be spirit-filled. And like Paul, I would dare say, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So don't give me that baloney that, this is a Baptist brother. He don't believe in the Holy Ghost. He don't believe. No, I believe in the gifts. I'm quite Pentecostal. I'm very Pentecostal. Don't give me that baloney. Don't go labeling me a Baptist. Just because I study the Bible, that does not make me a spiritless Baptist.
I just happen to be a spirit-filled Berean. You can't pull a fast one on me. So is Juanita Bynum an anointed prophetess of God? No. No. Juanita Bynum, in my opinion, is a female circus clown. That's who she is. She's a female circus clown. Now, I'm not going to be able to unfold that today. But we'll, as we go on. Now, Juanita Bynum, according to her Facebook page, Juanita Bynum was supposed to be attending an event, okay? And the event was, this was the event, there was a conference called Breaking the Rules Conference 2019. Breaking the Rules Conference. Now, who would sign up for a conference called Breaking the Rules? I don't know. Because that sounds to me like a conference title Satan would give the church. Breaking the Rules. We shouldn't be breaking any rules. Doesn't it sound strange to you that Christians would be conducting a conference called Breaking the Rules? I would not attend that conference. The title of that conference is not very appealing to me. That's the kind of conference that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, would tell me, don't go there. They're breaking the rules. God wants us to keep the rules. I guess that's why we're in so much trouble. Because now we're at a point where every rule that God has given, we go breaking. We just break the rules. You wouldn't catch me going to a conference called Breaking the Rules Conference 2019. Well, this conference was being hosted by Pastor John Moore III, who happens to pastor Experience Church. No, I don't want to be a member of Experience Church. No, when you give yourself over to experiences and not the Bible, you get into a lot of trouble. So notice, Experience Church is a church. It's a church that promotes experience over the scriptures. No, I don't want to go to Experience Church. I don't want to attend Experience Church. Don't drag me to Experience. I don't want to go. And I don't want to go to a conference being hosted by Experience Church that is called Breaking the Rules Conference. I don't want to be taught how to break the rules. I don't want to be taught how to be obstinate and rebellious towards God. I don't want to be taught how to be stiff-necked before the Lord. No, that's the last conference I want to go to. I would go to a conference that would be titled Keeping the Rules. Keeping the rules, but not breaking the rules. For people who have broken the rules in society, they have landed in jail. I don't want to land in any spiritual jail. No, 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 I don't want to land in spiritual jail. So again, Juanita Bynum was supposed to be attending. She was a featured speaker. In fact, she was a Sunday featured speaker at Breaking the Rules Conference being hosted by Pastor John Moore III and his church, the Experience Church. Now, Juanita Bynum, she was already there in Virginia. The church is in Virginia. She was already there. She was set to go. But something happened. Something happened between her and Pastor John Moore, and that caused Juanita Bynum to break the rules. What rules? Well, if you're a guest speaker and someone pays for you to come down, they pay for your airfare, they pay for your travel, they have gotten you into a hotel room, the least you can do is show up at the conference and do what you were asked to do. Do what you were invited to do. But Juanita, being the snowflake that she is, being the immature little brat that she is, being the immature little withering, you hurt my feelings snowflake that she is, she decided not to attend the conference and to keep all those folk waiting. She never showed up. Now. You have to ask yourself, did Juanita not show up because, like Jeremiah, she was lowered into a miry pit? Is that why Juanita didn't show up? Because Juanita had been arrested? And then, as the prophet Jeremiah was, she was taken and roped up and then lowered into a pit and left in a pit where she was sinking. Is that why Juanita didn't show up? No, that's not, she wasn't in a miry pit. Did Juanita not show up because, like John the Baptist, she had been thrown in prison and chained up like Herod did to John the Baptist, the prophet? Was she in jail? Is that why she couldn't make it to the Breaking the Rules conference? No, that didn't happen. She wasn't arrested for preaching Christ and preaching holiness. She wasn't thrown into some dungeon by some wicked ruler. That didn't happen to Juanita. No, no, no. She had a hissy fit is what happened. Juanita Bynum had a hissy fit. Did Juanita Bynum not show up because President Trump, like Nebuchadnezzar, took her and threw her in the fiery furnace the way Nebuchadnezzar took the three Hebrew children and threw them in the... Is that why Juanita couldn't make it to the conference, because she was thrown into the fiery furnace? No, no, Juanita Bynum was in no fiery furnace. She could have gone to the conference if she wanted to. Was Juanita Bynum incapable of going to the conference because she had been put into the lion's den like the prophet Daniel? No, Juanita Bynum wasn't in no, she wasn't in no lion's den. Mm-mm. No. She wasn't in. So she wasn't in a fiery furnace. She wasn't in a musty prison dungeon. She wasn't in the fiery furnace, and she wasn't in a miry pit. Those would be good reasons. If she didn't show up, I could see Pastor John Moore saying, "We can understand why the prophets didn't show up, because she was in, the authorities, when she landed in Virginia, they took her and put her in a fiery furnace because she's such a great woman of God." No, no, he couldn't tell them that. He couldn't tell the people that she was thrown into the lion's den. No. No. There was nothing. Here's the reason why she didn't make it. Listen. Now, remember, saints, remember. This is the great prophetess of the black church. Among all the prophetess in the black church, Juanita Bynum is the creme. That's what we're told now. That's what we're told. We're told that Juanita Bynum is the creme of the creme. If you really want to have a prophetic word in your conference by a female, the number one pick, the number one draft choice would be Juanita Bynum. Hands down. No one even comes a close second. So, let's listen to Juanita. Let's find out why Juanita Bynum didn't make it. Let's find out why she didn't make it to the conference. Why she broke the rules, why she broke the protocol, and why she did not attend the Break the Rules. I guess she was teaching about breaking the rules from her sissy fit room. Here she is.
A few of you won't come in. I'm going to wait a few seconds until everybody starts chiming in.
Now, the audio is a little bad here because they're playing a little bit of music in the background, and she's waiting for people to get on Facebook to check her out. So she's giving them a few minutes, okay? So just put up with it. It's going to get better. The audio, the sound, the quality is going to get better. Just right now they got some music on in the background while she's talking. And she's just sitting there, and she's going to give her bogus excuse as to why she didn't make it to the Break the Rules conference.
She'll let me know when you all have chimed in. Too much longer, but I didn't want to do this live. I was upstairs my band, and I'm here in Virginia, and I did not want to have to do this, but sometimes circumstances doesn't leave you an alternative to do anything else.
So she didn't want to do it, but she's doing it. Well, aren't you the prophetess? Are you a double-minded person? I didn't want to do it, but I got to do it. Well, that to me sounds like a double-minded person. And what does James the Apostle tell us about those who are double-minded? Oh, I didn't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. Does this sound like a stable person to you? Does this sound like a mentally stable person? No, it doesn't sound like a mentally stable person to me. Not to me, it doesn't. I didn't want to do this. I'm in Virginia. I didn't want to do this, but circumstances are forcing me to do it. What circumstances, snowflake? What circumstances? There are no circumstances. You should walk over to the conference and do as you were asked to do. Do as you were contracted to do. That's right, contracted. Because Juanita Bynum sends out contracts. You're not getting her to come to your church unless you fulfill all of the obligations of her contract. That's how they all work. So here she is, giving us some lame excuse. This is a lame-o. This excuse is lame-o. This is a lame excuse. Now, again, she's not, in my book, she's not a prophetess. She is a circus clown. Has always been a circus clown. It's always been a circus clown. But again, let's play the game. Let's just say that, okay, she's a prophetess. Let's hear her excuse. Oh, I didn't want to do this, but I got to do this. Double-minded person. A double-minded person is unstable in all their, isn't that what James says? A double-minded person is a person that cannot be trusted. Let's hear more from prophetess Juanita Bynum.
I do want to say that upon doing this live, I did consult with both of the bishops that stood over my life, and they.
She consulted the two bishops that stand over her life, which means nothing. Again, bishops are jackasses. You don't believe me? I consulted. Well, let me ask you something, Miss Snowflake. Let me ask you something, Ms. Double-Minded Woman. If you're a prophetess, why are you consulting bishops? Why didn't you consult the Lord? I consulted the two bishops that are above me. That means nothing. Bishops are clowns also. The bishops in the black church are, as my book describes them, jackass church bishops. If you want a copy of my book, just email me MosesHenryJones at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, free church, and I will send you a copy of my latest ebook entitled Jackass Church Bishops, showing how the Joint College of African American Bishops has turned the African American church into a donkey republic. You want that book? 15 chapters long, 240 pages, 260 footnotes. Email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Now, she said, I consulted the two bishops that are in my life. That means nothing. They're clowns also. That's one clown consulting two other clowns. That's all that is. That means nothing. Bishops are not men of honor. Bishops are not honorable people. They too fleece the people. They too con the people. They too hoodwink the people. No, I wouldn't ask. Now, again, the question is, if she's a prophetess of the Lord, why is she going to bishops? Why is she consulting two bishops? If she's a prophetess of the Lord, should she not consult the Lord? I'm the man of God. When I got an issue, I go to God. I don't go to some colleagues of mine, some yes men who are going to just tell me what I want to hear. I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to throw myself before the Lord, have the Lord talk to me. She's a prophetess. She claims to hear from God, yet she ignores God, and she goes to two bishops. Does that make any sense? Does that mean, you mean to tell me instead of going to the boss, I'm going to go to two coworkers? Am I not working in the vineyard of the Lord? Is he not the Lord of the harvest? If he's the Lord of the harvest, if I'm working in the vineyard of the Lord, why talk to two bishops? I should go talk directly to God. I should talk to the Lord. But that just goes to show you. You see, she's no prophetess. She's a prophetess in name only. She has no relationship with God. She has no relationship with him who is invisible. She has no relationship with the God of Scripture. None. Let's listen to a little more. It's only getting better.
They also felt that it needed to be done. I think everybody knows me by now. I've been, and I did not.
I'm sorry, I'm just having a little internet issues here. We got it back, but we need to get it back to.
I'm not going to wait too much longer, but I didn't want to do this live. I was upstairs in my bed, and I'm here in Virginia, and I did not want to have to do this, but sometimes circumstances doesn't leave you an alternative to do anything else. I do want to say that upon doing this live, I did consult with both of the bishops that sit over my life, and they also felt that it needed to be done. I think everybody knows me by now. I've been in ministry 47 years.
No, you've been in scandals for 47 years. You've been in drama, not ministry, drama. Soap operas is what you've been in.
And so I started preaching when I was 16. I preached my first revival at 16. Message was at 12 years old.
I don't care about your first revival. I don't care if you preached at 12 years old. I want to know about today. Why didn't you fulfill your obligation, your contractual obligation, to that church and its pastor? You didn't have a problem getting on the plane. When you left your house, wherever you live, wherever you live, when you went to the airport and you got on that plane, you don't think the Lord could have given you, oh, Juanita, don't go. There's going to be mess. Why didn't the Lord speak to you at your house before you got into the car that took you to the airport? Why couldn't you get a word of the Lord? I don't get it. You're a prophetess. Couldn't the Lord have given you a heads up? Couldn't the Lord have told you, Juanita, don't waste your time, don't go to this event? Couldn't you just have stayed in bed and called the pastor, John Moore, call him early and say, listen, you better get someone because the Lord told me not to go. I'll send you your money back. You can get your refund on your plane ticket. Don't give the hotel room to someone else. The Lord, no, but you see, she's all drama. She's all in the flesh. She leaves her house wherever the heck she lives. She got on a plane, flew into Virginia, got off the plane, went to the hotel room, and wasted this guy's time and the church's time. And then something happened in between there where now she can't preach. She can't prophesy. She can't bring the word of the Lord. And then she consulted two of the pastors who are set over her life. Mm-mm-mm. All this time, this woman wants us to believe that she's the number one prophetess in the black church, and yet she doesn't talk to God, and God doesn't talk to her. Something's fishy. Something don't sound right to me. Something's not kosher. Something stinks. Well, let's hear what Juanita has to say.
So I've been preaching full time a total of 47 years.
Again, we don't care about your full-time preaching. That's baloney. You're a hustler. That's what you are. You're a hustler. You've been hustling people. The money's good. You got addicted to the money. That's all. That's what it's about. It's the hustle. The hustle. You haven't been ministering. You haven't been helping anybody. Been helping yourself. It's called the pyramid scam. It's called the hustle.
And so I've dealt with a lot in ministry. I have. There's no way that you could be a woman in ministry, period, and not have to deal with things that probably most men don't have to deal with. And so...
what is it that men don't have to deal with? Don't we have to deal with God? Yeah. Or men and women have to deal with God. Don't men and women have to deal with the devil? Yeah. If you're in ministry, men and women have to deal with the devil. Don't men and women have to deal with the Bible? Yeah. We both have to deal with the Bible. Don't men and women have to deal with people? Yeah. We have to all deal with people. So what are you talking about? What special circuit? You are the diva prophetess of the black church. Everybody in the black church bends over backwards for Juanita Bynum. What possible problems can you be dealing with? You have no problems. You are a diva. Everyone caters to Juanita Bynum. Because if they don't cater to her, she ain't coming. What problems can you possibly have? This is baloney. Wait a minute. Did they throw you into the lion's den? Is that what you're talking about? Did you have that kind of... Daniel had that problem. He's a man. They threw him in the lion's den. Were you thrown into the fiery furnace? Because the three Hebrew males were thrown into the fiery furnace. Were you thrown in there? Let me see. Were you thrown into a slimy miry pit like the prophet Jeremiah? Let me see. Did that happen to you? Did that happen to you? Were you put into a miry pit? I don't think so. Were you thrown into a dungeon like John the Baptist? Oh, that is, you see, it does make sense. Only guys get thrown in the lion's den. Only guys get thrown into dungeons. Only guys get thrown into miry pits. Only guys get thrown into fiery. Listen, Miriam wasn't thrown into a fiery furnace. Deborah wasn't thrown into a fiery. Listen, none of the ladies in the Bible. Not one. But you're complaining. You're complaining. But you see, you want the same pay as men. But you don't want the same hardships as the men. What hardships can Juanita Bynum be talking about? Again, she's a diva. They have spoiled her rotten. You read her contract, she is spoiled rotten. There's not a thing that she doesn't ask for that Juanita Bynum doesn't get. What does she go through that men don't go through? Tell me, what has she gone through? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is baloney. And it's not even boar's head baloney. It's not boar's head baloney. It's welfare baloney.
So I think all I can say is that only the strong survive. And so over the course of the years, I've had to make a lot of sacrifices and a lot of adjustments. And
she she's had to make a lot of sacrifices. What in the heck is she talking about? She had a million-dollar wedding. This fool who calls herself a prophetess, this fool spent $1 million on her wedding to Bishop Weeks. This fool spent $1 million. What has she suffered? You tell me. Where did she get a million? She didn't get $1 million by working at Burger King. She didn't get $1 million by saving money from her paycheck from Walmart. Where'd she get that $1 million from? She got it off of poor black people. That's who she got it from. She's a diva. A diva. A devilish diva.
And if things haven't been, you know, the way I have would have wanted them to be every time, but that's with anything. That's with a business, that's with ministry, that's with a church, that's with relationships. And so you learn how to eat the bad with the good, and you just keep going. However, as much as it pains me to have to do this, because I know that as private as I am, and people that know me, you know, even though my name is very public, I don't thrive on allowing a lot of my private issues to be vented on Facebook. And anybody that has followed me on Facebook or Instagram, I'm just not one of those people that when things happen, you know, I got to get on Facebook and throw subliminal curves and, you know, say this and that and da-da-da-da-da. That's just not my style. However, when
it shouldn't be your style because you've been in so much drama. I mean, this lady's a drama factory. She's a drama. She is a by herself. Listen. It amazed me as a kid how when I was a kid they had all kinds of soap operas. As the World Turns, you know, 50 years. As the World Turns has been a soap opera. The Young and the Restless, another 50-year soap opera. I mean, this woman is 60 years old, and all she is a soap opera. There's soap every day. There's soap every day. I mean, this is just one mess after the other. And here's another one. Crying victim. She plays the victim card. I'm a victim. I'm a woman. She's using the woman card now. I don't have to suffer in ministry, but men, you know, women suffer things that men don't have to go through. What in the world are you talking about, lady? Playing the victim card, the woman card. This is a joke. A joke.
It is something that I feel and my bishop feels and my pastor feels like it's something that has severely threatened my integrity.
Threaten your integrity. First of all, who are these bishops and who's your pastor? Who are these bishops and why don't you give their names so we can verify the story if you talk to them or not? Who are these bishops? Who are these pastors? Now that you want to go public, just go full public. Be full disclosure. I got two bishops. Who are they? So we can find out if they're real credible bishops or not, or if they're clowns like I claim they are. Who is your pastor? Tell us who your pastor is. Tell us who your pastor is. We like to have a name. No, she just talks in vague terms. Two bishops and a pastor. Two bishops and a pastor make three monkeys. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. When you say two bishops and a pastor, that's what comes to mind. Three fools. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Then I have a responsibility to be upfront, and I have a responsibility to speak the truth. And so upon me coming to Virginia, from the very beginning, things were well, and everybody was going according to what was sent over to them in the agreement that was sent. And
in other words, in the contract. Why don't you say contract? Not in the agreement, in the why don't you use the word contract? You know the word contract is offensive. You know that when you send people a 20-page contract for the pastor to initial and sign and send you back a certified check with half the money, you know that that would offend a great deal of people. It would offend a great deal of people. Why don't you tell us the amount of the initial payment that they sent you? Because I can guarantee you that most people don't make that kind of money that they sent you in the certified check, the first amount, they don't make that kind of money in 1 year. See, she's a diva. Oh, everything was fine in the beginning. Everything was fine. The pastor initialed the contract. He sent it back with the right amount of money. Everything was fine.
Jimmy Vaughn is a person that handles my ministry engagements and been a person also in ministry all his life. Have seen it all and know it all and know how to be diplomatic and how to handle people and how to understand when somebody's having a rough patch, and he don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So
it seems like they threw out the baby with the bathwater because the baby's crying. You're the baby. You are a whimpering, withering snowflake. Let me say that again. Juanita Bynum is a withering, whimpering, immature snowflake. Snowflake. After Jeremiah was thrown in the pit, Jeremiah didn't quit. After the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, they didn't quit. After Daniel came out of the lion's den, he didn't quit. John the Baptist never quit until they cut his head off. But yet, she's quitting. She's quitting. She's not showing up. I wonder why. What could they have done to Juanita Bynum that was so down low?
It had to be somebody of that nature that understood how to work with people when they didn't get it all right. You know, it's not a reason to just say, oh, I'm just going to cancel you because you didn't get this right. So from the offset of the last 2 weeks, it had been kind of rough up and down to the point that the night before I came, which was Saturday night, I requested a phone call with the pastor and Elder Jimmy and my assistant, Unika, who does my ear monitors, because there was a lot being said and done that was just not appropriate. And I found to be offensive, but I wanted to be fair and hear both sides. Well, when we all got on the phone, and I'm glad that I never do anything without a witness, when we all got on the phone, the pastor understood some of the things that he had done wrong, several things he had done wrong, and he apologized. He apologized for his posture. He apologized for things that he said that was inappropriate, and I was good. And so, I don't split hairs over, you know, if it's not exactly the kind of car, because I don't require all of that. And it, I mean, people that posted me can tell you that. I'm probably one of the most low-maintenance guests they have ever had.
Yeah, right. No, you're high maintenance. High maintenance. All you diva preachers are high maintenance. None of you are low maintenance. None.
I don't charge up food on their hotel bills. If I want something to eat, because of the way that I eat, I send my staff out to get me food, and I pay for it. I don't use their phone at all other than calling the operator for some hot water or something like that. I even send out to get my coffee. And if they bring me coffee, I pay for it. I don't charge ministries for food. Even though they say, Dr. Bynum, feel free to get you something, you know, on the hotel, I don't. I just don't. I don't know. That's just me. I don't use their phone. I don't run up their phone bill. I don't require a limousine. You know, as long as the car's clean, my preference is black. If they don't have it, I don't fall out and die. You know, everybody know I don't like white cars and white limousines, and everybody knows why, you know, that know me. You know, my sister passed away. We haven't gotten over it, and all the white limousines and all of that is a reminder. So I don't want to go out to preach and just be reminded when I get outside that there's a long white limousine and red flowers. That's a bit too much for me emotionally. And after all, I am.
Wow. She can't handle white limousines. Wow. Would you like a white donkey? I'll get your donkey. I'll get your gray donkey. In fact, I'll put a saddle on the two bishops. I'll put two saddles on the two bishops that you got. You can ride one of them, and we can put your Bible and your suitcase on the other one. I'll get you two gray bishops if you don't like white limousines. That'll work for me. That'll work for me. I'll get you two donkeys. Two gray donkeys. Wow. What a snowflake. What a withering, whimpering snowflake.
You know, I have a human side to me. And so that would be really...
You have a human side to you. How about Jesus? Didn't Jesus have a human side? Didn't Jesus take the nails in his hands? Didn't Jesus take the nails in his feet? Didn't Jesus take the spear in his side? Didn't Jesus take the cat of nine tails all over his body? You mean to tell me you got a human side to you? You got what human side is that? That you can't get into a white limousine? That's what offends you? That's one of the things that you prefer a black car over a white one because it brings back some painful memories? How about a spear on your side? How about a spear? How about some nails in your hands? How about hanging on a cross and suffocating? How about that one? Would that show us your human side? Clown? Bozo? Would that show us your human side?
Only stipulation, and that the car be clean, and that the people that pick me up will pick me up and look presentable when they come and get me.
Oh, you mean to tell me they can't look like Peter and John all sweaty when they brought the donkey to Jesus? You mean to tell me they can't look sweaty like Peter and John when he sent the disciples and says, go tell that man that the Lord have need of the donkey? And you know, when you're walking to get a donkey in Israel, you're going to sweat. You're going to sweat going to get the donkey, and you're going to sweat coming back, bringing the donkey. And you're going to sweat while you're walking alongside the Savior. But Jesus didn't make that a prerequisite. Make sure that the people that come to pick me up are presentable. Wow. Wow. Wow, what a baby. Oh, what a baby. Oh, I don't demand that much. Well, you got a list. The list keeps growing. The list keeps growing.
And so that's about it, people. And so when a lot of those little things were not handled properly, I still said, okay, you know, all right, Rick, you know, you just got to know when to pick your fights and get over it. So by the time I landed, I was on the phone with the pastor Saturday night at 9:06. I got off the phone, and I headed to the airport. My flight left at 11:30, and I landed at 12:30. Got off the plane. The ride wasn't what we expected, but okay. you know, let's get to the hotel. I'm tired. It doesn't matter. You know, there was nobody there.
In other words, the car wasn't the right color, the driver wasn't presentable, and the car was not the make and style that she wanted. The ride wasn't right. Who cares? It's a ride. Shut your pie hole. It's a ride. What are you complaining about? What, Jesus walked everywhere. What are you talking? Lady, what are you talking? Jesus walked everywhere. His disciples walked everywhere. What are you complaining about? Elijah, the prophet, the great prophet, walked. Elisha, his student, walked. Isaiah walked. They didn't have magic carpets. Abraham didn't have a magic carpet. Did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of the faith, did they have magic carpets? What's he talking about? The ride wasn't right. I still got in and be grateful you have a ride. Be grateful. And you knew she flew first class. Don't let that one slip by you. She flew first class. She's not flying economy, saints. She ain't flying economy. No.
To greet me, to say God bless you, welcome to, but who cares? Because I don't require all of that. You know, I know why I'm.
Then why you're mentioning it? Why you making a big stink about it? I don't require all that. There was nobody there to greet me, but I don't require. But you're making a big stink about it. Shut your pie hole. Shut up. You whimpering, withering, immature snowflake. I've been in ministry 47 years. Well, it doesn't count for anything because you're acting like a baby. A baby.
You don't have to blow me up and butter me up and you know, ooh, here she come, there she go. That ain't even who I am. The majority of times I get around the city by myself. I don't require all the hoopla. My father said to me one day, you can taste success, but don't swallow it, or you would be full of yourself.
Listen, I don't care what your father said. It didn't work. All this advice that your daddy gave you, you didn't listen to it. Don't tell me what your father said. I don't care. I don't care. You're a diva. It didn't work. All the advice your daddy gave you and all the advice the Heavenly Father wants to give you, you're not listening. Don't give me anecdotes about your daddy. My daddy said. Who cares? We only care about what you did to this church and how you didn't fulfill your contractual obligations. That's the only thing we care. I don't care about what your daddy said. I don't care. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything when you act like a brat. So don't tell me what daddy said, because you're not applying what daddy said. You're not living by what daddy said. Maybe daddy should have put you over his knee and spanked you a little bit.
And I've lived by that motto for more than 40 years. It's wonderful if you got somebody there to give you flowers or to say welcome to the city or do you need anything. If not, okay, I didn't come for flowers. I came to do my job.
Now she wants somebody to be there waiting for her with a bouquet of flowers. Welcome to the city. Well, what are you going to do with the flowers? Are you going to eat them like donkeys do? Is that why you wanted flowers? Because you were hungry and they didn't have hay on the plane? They didn't have Timothy hay and they didn't have some molasses on the, and they didn't have a bucket of oats for you? So that's why you were waiting for flowers when the limousine came or whatever car, when the Nova came? When the Chevy Nova showed up? Oh, they didn't have no flowers for me. What are you going to do, eat the flowers?
And so I proceeded to the hotel, came to the hotel.
They should have taken you to a stable. They should have taken you to a stable. That's where they should have taken you.
And prior to me coming, I was informed by my secretary that something had taken place with my room. So I was like, well, okay, you know how you're moving, and you don't really get the gist of it because you're like, all right, it's already been enough, and I'm focused, and I just got to preach, so let me just get to the hotel.
Okay, so she's informed by her secretary before she arrives at the hotel. She's informed by her secretary that something happened to her room. Now, let me tell you what Juanita Bynum requires. She requires that her advance team go to her hotel room and put her hotel room completely in white. They got to put white sheets all over everything. When Juanita Bynum enters into a hotel room, her staff has to redo her hotel room before she gets there, and they got to put all the white sheets around. They got to make the whole room white. Then they have to lay out her panties and her bras on the bed on a white sheet. That's what they have to do. Her staff has to do that. They have to take her panties out, because obviously the diva prophetess can't take her own panties out of the suitcase. They have to take her panties out and her bra out and put it out on the bed. That's what they have to do. I'm filling you in. I'm letting you know what she requires from her staff.
And I'm focused, and I just got to preach, so let me just get to the hotel. And so I really didn't pay attention to a lot of the riffraff until I got to my hotel. When I got to my hotel, people, I walked in my room in the mini suite, which I would show a picture of the hallway when you open my front door. And when I walked into the room and turned the corner, of course, all of my things are laid out the way my secretary always laid them out. My assistants come in. They always come into a hotel room before me. They pray before I come in. They cover furniture with white sheets. That's just me, because I don't like to contend with a lot of stuff and people sitting on furniture and having sex on furniture, and that's just the sensitivity that I have. So they cover the chairs or the couches with white sheets, and they pray in the room and prepare the room for me. And somewhere on the bureau, my God, this is so...
So, again, you see her assistants. Now, not her assistant, but her assistants have to go in there. And mind you, the church is paying for her assistants to arrive also. This is big. These are big expenses. You have a whole team that they have to pay for to get Winnie the Bynum to come to the church. So her assistants have to go into the room and pray. Why can't she pray? Why can't she go in there and cover the room with white sheets? No, because she's a diva. So they have to go in there, and they have to cover everything in white sheets. I've never heard of anything so crazy. I mean, this is straight out of the Twilight Zone. This is straight out of the Outer Limits. This is bizarre. But she's got a staff. They go in there. They and, of course, they have to lay out her underwear.
They would have on the bed, I travel with a blanket that says, be still and know that I'm God. And they put that blanket on the bed, and my pajamas are laid out on the bed. And then on top of the bureau is all of my underwear, my panties, my stockings, my bra, whatever else I put on is laid out on the bureau for when I get ready to minister. Well, at that point, I was told that the pastor had entered my room without me being aware that he had been in my room. And so I said to my assistant, what do you mean he's been in my room? So when I turned around, I said, you mean like been in my room and saw all of my underwear? And she said, yes, ma'am. And I said, well, how do you know that? She said, because the secretary called upstairs, the Marissa Brown was the manager on duty. She called upstairs very rude to Yanika and said, why do you have two rooms in your name? And Yanika said, I don't have two rooms in my name. I checked in with all of Dr. Bonnie's credentials like I always do, which gives me permission to take her key and prepare her room. She said, when it's all of her stuff, her underwear and stuff laid out over everything, like the pastor said it is. So Yanika said, what are you talking about? She said, well, just answer my question. Is all of her things laid out on the bed and on the bureau like he said it is? And Yanika said, well, yes, it is. But that's all I want to know. And she hung up. Well, at this point, Yanika proceeded to find that very interesting. So she located the pastor. And she asked him, well, when she got downstairs, she asked the Marissa Brown lady.
And now we're coming to an embedded commercial. But you see, the thing is that the pastor entered the room after the assistants came in and put out all her underwear, all her negligee, all her pajamas. And the pastor, who was bringing a fruit basket, because that's what he was delivering a fruit basket to the room, just happened to go into Juanita Bynum's room, and of course, if the stuff was laid out, he looked at it. Now, that's the host pastor of the church. Now, that's not a reason. If someone looks at your panties and your bra, and looks at your underwear, and looks at your pajamas, and drops off a fruit basket, that's no reason to cancel. He's just bringing a fruit basket. The man didn't touch you. The man didn't come on to you. The man didn't try to rape you. I mean, the man didn't do anything. I mean, you haven't even seen the man. He just went into your room to deliver a fruit basket. That would be nice if I entered into a room and the pastor of the church I was visiting left me a fruit basket. I don't care if my drawers are out. I could care less if my drawers are out. What's he going to do to my drawers? Nothing. What is he going to do to my pajamas? Nothing. So what he looked at my drawers? So what he sees that I wear, big drawers. Big deal. Am I such a snowflake that he comes into the room and he just sees, okay, I don't use jockeys, I use boxes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, now he knows I'm not a jockey man. Who cares? Who cares whether they're cotton or they're rayon? Who cares whether they're short jockeys or long boxers? Who cares? That's not what, I mean, The pastor's not putting me in. Did he put a cobra in your room? Did he put poison in your water? He just walked in, and it's not his fault that your assistant wasn't there. He's just dropping off a fruit basket. But because of that, now she's upset. Ooh, she's upset. She's a withering, whimpering baby, immature snowflake.
He paid for the room. He got a right to have a key for her room. And Yanika said, we traveled all over and I've never heard of that. And so the fact that I'm getting ready to go and stand in somebody's pulpit who's seen all of my underwear. I'm sorry, people. I just felt naked. And I still do.
Now, she says, I feel naked because he saw my underwears. Think about Jesus, Juanita. Come on, Dr. Bynum, put your thinking cap on. Don't tell me that in between those ears, all you have is an empty space. Tell me about Jesus who hung on the cross naked. Talk about embarrassment. They hung our Savior on the cross naked. They shamed our Savior. They didn't put him up there with underwear like you see in most pictures. He was up there. When Hollywood does a picture and they put Jesus up there, they put Jesus up there with a pamper. In reality, our Savior hung up there naked. What are you worried about? Somebody looking at your panties? You ain't all that anyway. What's the big deal? So they saw your panties. You know, when I lived in Brooklyn, when I was a kid in Brooklyn, and we had the clothesline in the projects. You know how you had the clothesline? You know how everybody out their window has a clothesline? Everybody saw everybody else's panties and underwear. That's just, listen, you live in a tenement. You have a clothesline. Your mama doesn't have money to be going to the laundromat to put your clothes in a dryer. They put everybody's panties and underwears on the clothesline. Who cares? Just by looking at your underwear, that doesn't mean they're going to do something to you. This woman, she's such a baby. Oh, he saw my underwear. I can't preach in his pulpit. He saw my panties. Wow. My goodness. My goodness. What a baby. What an infant. What an infant. This is mind-boggling. Jeez, I feel naked. Well, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to the Lord whom you claim to serve, whom you don't, because you're clueless. You are a clueless woman, a clueless, self-centered woman.
And I just felt so violated. And what he said was, he came in my room to put something in my room. But then his assistants put juices and drinks at the front desk for Unica to take to my room. And as a male, why would you come into my room? Why didn't you send your wife into my room? And his wife has profusely apologized to me. But people of God, there's some things that's just distasteful. Some things you just don't cross the lines for. I would not have ever known that he had a key to my room had this lady not been so rude to inform us that she knew all of my garments were spread around my room. And so at that point, that was the end of the rope for me. I can tolerate a lot. But so no, it wasn't wanting to buy per se as to the reason why I didn't show up in that church tonight. It's like I'm standing up there preaching knowing that you know what I have on underneath my dress. That, I don't know. Maybe we live in a little.
So didn't you bring a second pair of drawers? You mean to tell me you only travel with one pair of panties and only one bra? You couldn't say, well, he saw this one, so I feel a little uncomfortable. So let me take out another pair of panties and let me take out another bra, one that he hasn't seen. I mean, these are just poor excuses. She's creating drama. She's calling attention to herself. She does this all the time. She's addicted to drama. She needs a spellbinding episode for her novella, for her soap opera. That's what she needs. This is idiotic. This is foolishness. I can't go up there because he's already seen what I'm wearing underneath. So get another pair of panties. Listen. My wife, when we travel, if we're gone for a weekend, I kid you not, my wife will take a pair of panties. I got three, one for each day. Me, I got three. She's got eight. Honey, why do you need eight panties? We're only going 3 days. It's a woman thing. Okay. I don't even ask anymore. I don't even ask. I got 3 days, so I count three drawers. I count three underwear. 1, 2, 3. That's all that goes in the suitcase. 3 days, 3 pairs of socks. 3 days, 3 undershirts. 3 days, I might wear the same pair of pants for 3 days. I might. It just may be 3 different shirts. But I just may wear the same pair of pants. Just change my drawers. Just change my drawers. I go economy. I just go economy. Same pants, 3 drawers, 3 different shirts. Because people focus on the shirt. They don't focus on the pants. They focus on the shirt. So if you got a different shirt on, you throw people off course. They think, oh, he's got a whole new outfit. No, I just got a new shirt. That's the way guys think. That's the way we operate. Now, you can't tell me, because listen, all women are the same. When my wife and my girls go, my girls do as their mama does. So if their mama's got 8 pairs of underwear, they got 8 pairs of underwear. Girls do like their mama. Now, you can't tell me that this woman who spent $1 million on a wedding has 1 pair of panties. You can't tell me that. Mm-mm. No. No, you can't tell me that. So what's the big deal? He didn't see you naked. He didn't walk into the room and saw you naked. He just came to deliver a fruit basket and saw your panties laid out. Big deal. Big deal. Big deal. Well, I don't get it. Why did she have to cancel? Because she's a whimpering, withering, immature baby snowflake. Baby snowflake.
Maybe the millennials is on some other kind of drugs, but where I come from and the way I was raised, that's just too private. That's just too personal. And when Unica confronted him respectfully, he said, well, I just wanted to put something in her room. And she said, but that ain't how we do that. You know, you would have had to contact me to put something in her room. And I looked around my room, and there was nothing left in my room. There was no flowers left in my room. There was no fruit basket left in my room. So other than that, I guess I really don't understand the reason why you would have been in my room. And I just feel very, like I said, I can deal with a lot. I can, and I take a lot. I do.
There she goes to crying. Here comes the bucket of fake tears. Fake tears. That's what that is. I want to play something for Juanita and for the audience. This is the great Puritan author Thomas Brooks, the great author of many great works, many great Christian works, such as he wrote a tremendous book called, which is a classic, an unsurpassed, unrivaled classic called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. Thomas Brooks, the great Puritan from England. And Thomas Brooks, let me just type this in here. Mr. Thomas Brooks. Okay. He wrote a chapter in his book called Afflicted, Tormented, and Destroyed. Now, I want you to write down Thomas Brooks, and the title of the book is, the title of the chapter is Afflicted, Tormented, and Destroyed. Now, I want you to hear this, because this is about what Satan had people do to saints during early Christianity, when Christianity was just starting out, when Christianity, Christians, what happened to Christians in the first century? How were they afflicted? How were they tormented? How were their bodies destroyed? You want to know? Ask Thomas Brooks. And I'm going to play it for you because this chapter has been put into audio format. I want you to listen to this. This is mind-boggling. Now, none of these things that are being mentioned here could the whimpering, withering prophetess, Juanita the Clown Bynum, she's worried about somebody looking at her panties. Give me a break, lady. Give me a break. Listen to this. Listen to what they did to Christians in the first century. You're no prophetess. You're a clown. You're a diva. Listen to this, saints.
Afflicted, tormented, and destroyed by Thomas Brooks. Let me give you a little abridgment of the sufferings of some of the early Christians of whom the world was not worthy. Number one. In the reign of Hadrian the Emperor, there were 10,000 Christians crowned with a crown of thorns, thrust into the sides with sharp lances, and then crucified. Number two, others were so whipped that their entrails were seen, and afterwards they were thrown upon sharp shells, and then upon sharp nails and thorns. And after all this cruelty, they were thrown to wild beasts to be devoured. Number three, multitudes were banished. Number four, others were pulled apart with wild horses. Number five, some were beaten and racked with bars of iron. Number six, others were cast into loathsome dungeons. Number seven, some were burnt in the fire. Number eight, others were knocked down and had their brains beaten out with staves and clubs. Number nine, some were pricked in their faces and eyes with sharp reeds. Number ten, others were stoned to death with stones, as Stephen was. Number 11, some were dashed in pieces against millstones. Number 12, others had their teeth dashed out of their jaws and their joints broken. Number 13, some were cast down from very high places. Number 14, others were beheaded. Number 15, some were tormented with razors. 16, others were slain with the sword. 17, some were run through with pikes. 18, others were driven into the wilderness, where they wandered up and down, suffering hunger and cold, and where they were exposed to the fury both of wild beasts and also to the rage of the barbarous Arabians. 19, some fled into caves, which their persecutors crammed up with stones, and there they died. 20, others were trodden to death by the people. 21. Some were hanged on gibbets with a slow fire under them. 22. Others were cast into the sea and drowned. 23. Some were slain by being thrown in mines. 24. Others were hanged by their feet and choked with the smoke of a small fire, their legs being first broken. 25. Some were covered with oil and then roasted with a soft fire. 26. Others were hung by one hand that they might feel the weight of their whole bodies scorching and broiling over burning coals. 27. Some were shot through with arrows and afterwards thrown into stinking prisons. 28. Others were stripped stark naked and thrown out in cold, frosty nights, and burnt the next day. 29. In Syria, a company of Christian virgins were stripped stark naked to be scorned by the multitude, then shaved, and then torn in pieces and devoured by beasts. 30. Lastly, many women had the joints of their bodies pulled, and their flesh and sides clawed with talons of wild beasts to the bones, and their breasts seared with torches until they died. And thus you have an account of 30 different ways by which the precious sons and daughters of God have formerly been afflicted, tormented, and destroyed. What heart of stone can read over this list with dry eyes? And now tell me, sirs, whether your sufferings are worth a naming in that day, wherein the sufferings of the precious servants of God in the primitive times are spoken of. Oh, no. Well, then, take heed of making molehills into mountains, and of crying out, "Is there any sorrow compared to my sorrow, or any sufferings compared to my sufferings?"
No, but when either Bynum is saying, no, they look
afflicted.
They look
tormented.
They looked at my panties. They looked at my panties. Doctor, mind you, this is Dr. Winnie the Bynum. Dr. Clown. Dr. Clarabelle the Clown. Dr. Bozo the Clown. That's what she is, a bozo. And she wants us to feel, oh, oh, they did this to me. Oh, they didn't have flowers for me. They didn't have Timothy hay for me and molasses and oats when I got off the plane. Crying about somebody taking a glance at her panties. Oh, my goodness. How childish. How moronic. How stupid, this woman. What a stupid woman. What a dunce. What an ignoramus, this woman. What a fool. Please. They looked at my panties. What an injustice. Please, stop it. Well, saints, listen. If you want the book, Jackass Church Bishops, please email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Freechurchbooks@gmail.com. I'll get it over to you today. Just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. I'll be back tomorrow with more vintage broadcasting. I'm only getting started with Juanita Bynum. Come back tomorrow and we'll talk more. God bless you.